November 23, 2020, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Jalopy. Jalopy. Jalopy.
And driving.
And driving.
And driving.
Pedro Show, happy Monday. Getting towards the end here. It's Thanksgiving week. Start off with my favorite things, live at Penn State 1963. You notice they faded out. I mean, it kept going, right? It was like almost 14 minutes there. Love John Coltrane. And then a Gigi band after that with Jalopy, Holy Yoke. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto, a few miles south of me here on the Pleasure Point, because we're in quarantino mode still. In fact, it's very heavy. People, be safe. Be healthy. We're going to get around over this and around this, but let's not be stupid. But those engineers in Estonia with their incredible Skype software invention, I got Matt Jones with me. Matt, where are you talking to me from?
I'm here from Busan, South Korea, yeah. And it's 4 a.m. here. Well, I just woke up to talk to you.
The reason I ask is because last time we talked was 5 years ago, and it was in person up in East Bay, I think at the Octopus Bookstore.
Yes, we first spoke in person in Oakland, right? And then we did do one of these Skype interviews when I was living in Massachusetts a couple of years ago as well.
I know, but I'm talking about the last time I talked with you.
In person. Yeah, in person. We were at you and Tav Falco were doing a show in Oakland, downtown Oakland, and I was living there at the time. And I came down to visit you with G from Gigi Band. It was great to meet you.
Okay. I'm sure people are very interested in that kind of shit. But I want to know, what I'm interested in is, what have you done musically since then?
Well, since then, that time when I met you, I was finishing up the Gigi Band, the last album, Holyoke. You just played the song from that. And that project kind of split up. And so I went solo to do my own thing. And, I've been releasing albums under the name, MB Jones. And so I did, MB Jones self-titled album on Feeding Tube. And then I did an album called ROK Spy, which was based on the perspective of an international spy through a French label. And most recently, I did another thing through Feeding Tube Records called No Psy, No Fi, which you play on a little bit.
Yeah, I'm on some of the tracks.
You're on some of the tracks. So basically doing solo stuff, but I still have like my music partners and my friends who I bounce my music off and stuff like that. But yeah, different than GG Band.
Yeah, because when we talked last time, it was like you had a, I mean, you've always been, actually, I knew you before.
Yes.
Doing that show at the Octopus Bookstore, because I've been playing music, Matt Jones music, that goes way before GG Band.
Yes, I remember the first time was, I think, 2007. And this was back before Facebook. It was MySpace music. I don't know if people remember MySpace, but, and I would post some of my home recordings on there. And all of a sudden, it says, "Oh, Mike Watt, I'm going to play your music on the show." And, none of my friends believed it. They all thought it was like a fake account or something, you know, because we didn't know back then, but well, that was the beginning. And since 2007, we've had this relationship and, exchanging music and going back and forth.
But my show is not part of Fake Look or my Waste of Space place. It's always been the Watt from Pedro Show, TWFPS.com. Now, I let people know about stuff at those other places, but,
right.
You know, I get a little touchy about this because people are given up too easy on having their own ways of being autonomous.
Yes.
And why do we always got to include those big corporate things whenever we talk about how we get together?
I agree. Okay. And
now,
yeah.
To be fair, you know, let's talk about the days like the 1980s before there was email, very popular, widespread. And I wanted to talk to you on a payphone.
Yeah.
Not to India Company, AT&T.
Uh-huh.
So this has always been a kind of thing where you have to make, I guess, quote, compromises. But as long as you're preserving your autonomy, I don't think they're too bad at
compromise.
Like if the guy jumped on the phone and told me what to say when I was talking to you, I would have hung up.
Right. It's your choice. But you've always been kind of a master of communication and networking. I remember talking to some of my friends back in Massachusetts who are fans of yours in the 80s, and they would write letters to you, and you would write letters back, and you were networking way back then, so regardless of the medium.
Yeah, but Matt, you got to understand, in the old days of the movement, it was very small.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you had to, like, develop, and I learned this from the SST guys, the Black Flag guys. Chuck Dukowski literally built the circuit that we used to tour on. Well, we'll go back to touring.
Uh-huh.
Right now, a little pause because of health. But this stuff was going to be done for us. So we had to, you know what I'm saying?
Use
the in those days, it was the telephone, right? And you would, there'd be a little piece of the punk infection in all the towns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you would connect with them, and that's how you would get a tour going. That's how you would play in other towns.
Right.
And stuff. So it was just a pragmatic way trying to get music around.
Yeah.
So I never called it shit like networking.
Right.
I mean, I would, very important. They were very important connections, but it wasn't an end unto itself.
Right.
Like you say, the word fans and stuff. What we were trying to do is let people know about certain gigs. So maybe someone would want to become a gig goer. We never asked people to be fans. That sounds like
Yeah,
Kool-Aid chugging cult members or some shit.
Yeah.
So we want to let people know, right, because the universe we were in was kind of a parallel one, not so much better or worse, but to let folks know that's we try to make these connects. And so as technology change, why can't the ethics stay the same? Anyway, this is too much about Watt. Let's get back to Matt and his music journey. So,
I think, it's interesting conversation, though. I mean, you bring up a really good point. I think, just to cut in a little bit, I think it's true what you said about the internet. The internet started off that way, but, maybe it's not like that anymore. You know, we're kind of gone past that point of the underground internet and all that. So maybe we need to get back to writing letters and all this and that.
I don't know. I think it's just a fucking medium.
Yeah, you know, it is a medium, but it's...
And Marshall McLuhan said, yeah, it becomes the message, right, and stuff. But I say, that's part of preserving your autonomy.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. And just, you know, getting your... That's why I think everybody should have their own websites. You know, it's like having your own fanzine.
Yes.
So just because this technology comes by doesn't mean the ethics have to be corrupted.
Yeah, we just have to fight harder to make sure we maintain our autonomy.
Well, it's a little bit of personal responsibility, I think.
Yes.
And you can't really expect some big hombre to, like, enforce it, I think. If you do, it'll turn into something kind of weird, right?
True. So, yeah, that's...
It's got to be organic, and it's got to be from the bottom up, you know, I think. Because that's what I learned, anyway, from... Yeah. My experience, and still going on. I've had the radio show here for 19 years, 7-8 months.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Basically, yeah, if you say you want to get rid of the... How am I going to write letters to
let
people know about this music?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
impossible.
So why give up on this? Instead of just manage it in a way that seems kind of closer to the ethics we're talking about.
Yeah, you can't get rid of the internet. It's so ingrained into our lives and how people have jobs and how people live and all that kind of thing.
I'm talking about sharing artistic expression.
Yeah. I think we need to keep going with the internet. I think this has been the big change for the past 20 years. But like you say, we need to get smarter about it and develop some ethics in this type of thing.
But look, these dilemmas about fucking... You know, being immersed, being a tool, and then, you know, whatever, let the freak fly. They go way back.
Yes.
Think about it. Little Richard sold way less Tutti Frutti's than Pat Boone.
I know.
I love
Little Richard.
I was talking to a friend of mine of this in England. Well, try to. And, because, you know, the idea of commerce versus art and stuff, I mean, this is old. But it's very pertinent to rock and roll. It's been part of the struggle. And... Yeah, there's technology things, but also there's ethic things. And if you ask me, my opinion about one of the reasons the movement got going was it was an answer to arena rock.
Right, yeah, definitely.
Had nothing to do with a certain style. Mm-hmm. It was all rock and roll. It still is rock and roll, right? It's a kind of a rhythm-based music that's kind of emotional.
Yeah. But the style
that
came out.
It has billions and billions of forms, and in fact, everyone practicing, I think, has the chance to innovate in their own way. I want to play something from you here called Aberration.
Aberration. Variation from the textbook explanation. That's just an aberration.
November 18th to 24th is National Fuck Awareness Week. What is your FQ? Your fuck quotient. You owe it to yourself to be fuck aware. Do you know which American idols' lives have fucked and which have not fucked? Which have fucked humans of opposing gender and which have fucked those of same? Which have fucked parties with foreign objects and which have done it with their fuck organ? Which have fucked well-known celebrities? Which have fucked low-life scum in flea-bait motels? Which have fucked Republicans? Which have fucked in the state of Nebraska? Which have fucked in Canada? Which have fucked seated on a toilet or potty? Which have fucked animals, including ducks? Which have fucked donuts or similar pastries? Which have fucked tailpipes of $100,000 automobiles? Which have fucked themselves? These questions must be answered. Can you answer them? For further information, call 1-800-FUCK-FUCK.
stranger running from me. Running away from danger, hiding away from a stranger running from me.
Thank you.
Aberration from M.B. Jones.
Yeah.
Now, an aberration, the way I understand it, is something you don't like.
Well, an aberration is something that's, we use it in speaking terms as something you don't like, but it's something that's out of the normal.
Uh-oh, there's that word again.
Oh, yeah, normal?
Yeah, I can't handle that word.
Well, by normal, I mean just like the average, what happens on a daily average, and then something
comes
in.
How many people use that word for healthy?
Yeah.
Does it mean healthy?
It doesn't. Is we're just generalizing saying things. But an aberration can also mean kind of like a ghost, right? Like, or you see a spirit, something that's extraordinary.
Yeah, that's out of like what is considered real.
Yes. Yeah.
Or we say what's surreal.
So, yeah, what's surreal?
Yeah, but I think that was actually an artistic movement.
Yeah. I love it. And so in that song, I tried to I like to, like, really create an emotional moment in the song. And I like to have the atmosphere. And I do my home recording, and so I tried to create that atmosphere of an aberration in the song with some heavy air and that kind of stuff.
And you find it a lot different, right, than working in a band like the GG band in a ensemble.
Yeah, well, yeah, the GG band was a mix. Like it always started with the home recording, like I do now. But with the GG band, sometimes I would take those tracks into the studio and bring some musicians in. Like we'd go into Stone Lab Studio in East Hampton at that time with Mark Allen Miller, and he would engineer it and this type of thing. And then he'd send me the tracks, and I would mix them in. So, yeah, because that brings a different element in it, and I had to learn how to mix in, you know, 15 different drum tracks into my home recording, and also at the same time keep the integrity of my atmosphere, you know what I mean? So that was difficult. But,
you're saying – your home recording away was a demo, but it was also like kind of the skeleton of the tune.
Yeah, it was a skeleton of the tune. Well, I viewed it as a finished product. You know, I like the raw demo type of things, but at the same time, I think some songs you can expand. You know, both of them have integrity. Both, I'm like, oh, this song, you know, we could really expand it out, and then the problem becomes. When you bring in the air from the studio, how do you make it mesh and jive with the air in your home recording studio as far as atmosphere? Because we all know about that problem where, you know, you go into a studio and it sounds too sterile or too manufactured or this and that compared to your home recordings.
Also, mm-hmm. What about the spirit of improvisation? Because you've got that thing set in stone and now you're bringing in the new people.
Yes.
To interpret.
Yes. Well, the people that I work with generally, I work with them, whether it's, Bob Fay, John Maloney, or, Tim Shelton. These guys,
I know John Maloney, Bob Fay, a great drummer, man.
Bob Fay, Sabado and lots of other stuff. John Maloney, you know him.
I know Bob Fay going back to Volcano Sons.
Right. Yeah, a long time. And Tim Sheldon, the guitar player. These guys are all people who I could throw a track at, and I just say, you know, I want whatever comes out of your head. You know, I don't want you to follow any kind of marching orders or anything like that. And so they kind of improvise and give me their thing. And then later on, when I get it back, in terms of the mixing, I can kind of get it how I want to. But, you know, the whole point of having someone else on your something you made is to let them express themselves as well. So I don't use musicians as a term, as like filler. I want them to bring their own kind of sensibility to it.
Well, that's why I call them interpreters. I got to tell the people what else we heard. You know, I forgot to let people know that starting on the 18th, it was Fuck Awareness Week, and today's the last day, so fucking watch based out on that. And then we had, that was Spielgusher, and 38 Tigers after that with Primate Scheme, a demonstration from Bowman's Prendon, I think I got the pronouncer right. Is this real? Jesus Christ. From Black Wing. Harper Roos St. George Request. Some stuff from the 60s. Dose Little Doll. The Kill Rock Star is going to reissue on vinyl. Tuesday, Demented Taste. Shoeshine from Pineapple Empress. Brand new from Senor Al in South London. Augie Y, Brand New Stranger. And finally, Nam June Pak Glass Fish from the GG Band. I heard some noise over there. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. Mm-hmm. November 23, 2020, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Matt Jones. Hold tight for hour two. November 23, 2020, it's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Parts for
Sundays. off your clothes.
Do me a favor,
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, started the second hour off with Hearts for Eyes from M.V. Jones. Sam Bennett out of Tokyo with Heidi Ho. Take Off Your Clothes from Locate Your Lips. That's got Brother Steve McKay on the sax, but they're too tiny. They should put them louder. But just anything with him I just love because I miss the man so much. Deep in the Woods, 66. Tommy O'Sullivan in Dublin there with I Got Bills to Pay. Surf for Blood with Dewar. Might be a whiskey brand. And finally, M.B. Jones, Smart Cities, Dumb People. What do you mean by that, Matt?
Smart City, Dumb People. You know, it's satire song, but the idea is that as things become more and more automated, we lose a lot of intelligence in a way, even though it frees us up to be more smart. But if our electricity ever goes out or our internet ever goes out, we will no longer be able to open the door or turn anything on, turn our car on or call our friends. Basically, our whole dependent system is on electricity and internet. So if we lose that, we've lost all the skills of human connection and how to function in society.
We're kind of hostage.
We are kind of hostage. We've to different degrees, but the more and more we are dependent on the smart city model, which, you know, I'm not against totally. This is just kind of commentary, but we are hostage to that. And if the internet gets pulled or the electricity gets pulled, we no longer have those skills, or we never develop those skills to do on our own.
Why I keep hard copy or hard drive copies of your music, because the cloud is actually somebody else's pewter. What about Hearts for Eyes?
Yeah, Hearts for Eyes is from the ROK Spy album, and just basically about, you know, falling in love, you know. And I always wanted to express a song through using emojis. Emojis are really big here in South Korea, and a lot of times when you text with people, you know, you text with an emoji, kind of like hieroglyphics or something like that. It's a symbol that represents a bunch of emotion. But you know, Hearts for Eyes is, you know, when you fall in love with someone, you send them the happy face with the the hearts and for eyes, you know. So it's just a pretty simple love song, I guess.
And you wouldn't want to use Hangul to write a poem or something?
No, I wouldn't be good enough to, you know, I know Saranghaeyo is I love you and stuff like that, but nah, I couldn't write a poem. But the emojis do enough, you know.
Because, you know, I was reading like a survey of written languages. Hangul is kind of an excellent system because it was kind of, it's only like 500 years only.
Right.
Compared to other forms of writing. And so they had a lot of experience to gain from to kind of, they even make the shape of your mouth and shit.
Characters. Yes. It's a very unique system. It's an example where a culture decided to make their own language because originally it was Chinese. And then at a certain point, there was a king named King Sejong. Yeah. And he said, no, we need to make our own language. So he developed his own language. And in the old days, you know, written language was only for the elite. So he made it into a simpler form as far as it can be understood simply. And that's where Hangul started. And also, I think it's the alphabet where the most text can be fit into one page.
Right, you can get actually four like characters in one little cell, one little block. Yeah. But you know what's funny? Well, maybe kind of tragic. It only lasted while he was alive. It just came back after the Second War.
Really? Oh, right. Because of the colonization and stuff like that?
No, I think before that even. I think good King Sejong wanted everybody, but not the other bosses.
Oh, okay.
Look, I want to play Plastic Kisses.
Against all they face, and today. Christmas lights, Christmas lights, Christmas lights, Christmas lights are like gems for trees, makes a nice holiday for you and me.
Live from Pedro Show, Plastic Kisses from MB Jones. Too Many Teardrops. That's a demo from a band called Golden in Tokyo. And Yesterday Morning, El Pathos, Free Moral Agents with Moonchild. That had Icky. He was playing with the Mars Volta guys. He, in his 30s, had a heart attack and passed away. Incredible musician, Long Beach guy. The Sea Where I Played When I Was a Small Kid from Mako Ishibashi. Partner Jim O'Rourke. The Trip from Gaffa. Czech people. Don't know if they're still together. Finally, Jails for Trees, M.B. Jones. So Jails for Trees.
Yeah, and that's you and I playing together, right? We collaborated on that track.
Well, I think you already had the track, then you asked me to play bass to it.
Yes, but you changed it quite a bit, and it kind of evolved from there. And so, yeah, basically, I got that idea from a song from one of my students, actually. I get a lot of ideas. I work with younger people and stuff like that, and I love talking with them. And one of my students was like, oh, why do they put the lights all over the trees and just wrap them up? It's like the trees are prisoners, Just a comment, because Korean, and, Christmas is a little bit big here, but it's just like, just a passing comment. I was like, huh, that's true. And so the idea came from there. I'm not writing an anti-Christmas song or anything political like that.
I think you were talking more about perspective.
Yes, exactly. And perspective, and what's the celebration for some people is the punishment for others. You know, the way we celebrate is usually in the face of another one, person's embarrassment or this type of thing. Yeah, it's all about perspective, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure there'd be some Korean traditions that would be trippy on U.S. people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one interesting one that they share with China and Japan is this thing about having your second birthday when you're 60 years old. I love this. In Japan, it's called Kanreki, and I know there's a Korean word for it, too. But this idea, if you live that long, it's ready for the next round.
Wow. That sounds great.
I learned that when I turned 60. What about plastic kisses?
Yeah, Plastic Kisses is a new song. I'm working on the ROK Spy 2 album. It's just about done. But that's one of the newer tracks, and it's with a vocalist, Eun Young Ju, who I worked with on the first ROK Spy 1 album. But that's all about, you know, in the past year, we wear masks because of the coronavirus situation. And we wore masks before that here in South Korea. It's part of the culture, you know, as you know, in Japan and China. And I thought, you know, how can we do a romance song, or how can we do a love song with masks on, you know? And here I am, you know, I have my wife and stuff, and how do I kiss her, and how do I be romantic? And so the scene was, you know, you have your masks on all the time. And then you embrace for a kiss, and you know, you have a romantic moment, but you have the plastic masks on. But eventually, you know, you grow to like it, and it becomes part of your lifestyle. So,
yeah, interesting. I mean, it's trippy, right? What is the song going to be about? Right, kind of a dilemma, almost like, what am I going? Is it going to be a waltz? Is it going to be a two-step?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a dirge? Is it going to be an anthem?
Yeah.
What's fascinating about music. There's just a lot of options, a lot of ways to do it.
Yeah. I like mashing up different styles. Like in that song, there's a bunch of different changes. So I really like the changes where you'll kind of tease one style. You'll start off. And it'll just be a tease, and it can kind of abruptly end, and then it go into something else, and then go into something else, and that kind of thing. So I like to tease with styles, you know, especially with like long form, like dance music or electronic music that's very repetitive. I like to kind of cut it off early and I guess subvert expectations. That's fun for me.
Like destroy the groove.
Yeah, destroy the groove or break it up and stuff like that. And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the, you know, one of the, I guess, perks of being the composer.
Yeah.
You're in the driver's seat, right?
Yes, yes.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, November 23, 2020 edition, Watt for Pedro Show special guest, Matt Jones. Hold tight for hour 3. November 23, 2020. It's the third hour. What for Pedro Show. From Pedro Show, we start off the third hour with Rack Rash doing Baloo Hula. And then Wasted Space, Persian Carp, Bronze Age UFO out of Balmore yesterday. Ceremony of Vision, something live from the Waku Waku Kingdom, Brother Shige, there in Berlin. Hi Maya, General Relativity is Relative. That's some live from Days of Yore. Finally, Pusan Perimeter. You know, people don't realize that these guys have their own sounds for their own language, and of course, and then foreign people come and they say, well, we're going to decide, so we're going to call you your second biggest town, Pusan.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't, it's hard for them to hear the difference between a B and P, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of letters. B and P and R and L and stuff like that. There's, it's somewhere in between. When the video artist Peknam June, we always have that problem. Is it Beck or is it Peck? You know, that type of thing.
Right, right. Now tell me about Balua or Palua Hula.
Yeah.
What is Rack Rash? What is Rack Rash there, man?
So Rack Rash is the solo name of the guy named Tim Sheldon, and he's a really far out guitarist who's played on pretty much all of my albums. If you hear guitar, it's usually him, the GG band or the MB Jones solo stuff. And he's originally from the band Fat Worm of Error, which is kind of a classic crazy art rock band from Western Mass. A lot of people love them. And so And he's been playing with me for so long and contributing to my stuff. I was like, Tim, I really want to, you know, help produce or help make a solo album by you. And so he's been sending me tracks, and I'll like loop them and cut them up and arrange them in a way. They're his, it's his stuff, but I try to facilitate that. So that's been a project in the past year, and it's been really great.
That's why you didn't really know the pronunciation. It's actually his title.
Right. It's his song, and he sends me a bunch of audio fragments and stuff like that, and I loop them up and put them together, and you know, we go back and forth. So it's been a fun project we worked together, and he's got a great style, and it's been fun. And also, I'm so used to making music based around my songs. It's been really fun to, you know, design music that's not around my words and my ideas, you know, just around sounds.
You mean this is like widening your horizon?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I've tried to do a lot of that the past year, collaborating with people outside of just my song thing. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out, sometimes it does, but it's all work. And something that doesn't exactly work out in one place, next time you use it, like, there you go, you know. So, yeah. Trying to develop my horizons and my musical palette, or whatever you want to say.
You know what I found, Matt, is that when you play, it's never wasted. Whenever you play, right, you're kind of investing in the next time you're going to play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's absolutely never wasted.
Never wasted, yeah.
And that's why I won't call it rehearse. I call it practice, because you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
a basketball player doesn't rehearse hoops.
Right.
He practices them, right? So when it's time to do, and it might be like that with collabs, because you're right, you don't know, right? You're throwing the dice, you're seeing if the oil and water can mix.
Mm.
And, you know, but you know, if you don't know, if you just assume the wall is there without pushing against it, you might be wrong. Right?
Yeah.
So why not try it out and see if it works?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. And for like people, music producers, people making music, like when they first start off, you spend like 10 hours on a computer making a song and it doesn't work out and you just feel like everything's lost. But in reality, those skills and that like learning process translates into the next time. So like there's no lost time, you know, in that way.
Right. Because it's all... Yeah. It's weird how tomorrow is made up of today.
Yeah.
In fact, tomorrow might not happen. All you have is today. for sure, yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, just the way of humans experience things. Here, like you kind of talked about stuff like this in this next tune, my genealogy.
I got a letter from the government yesterday. They asked me to spit into a cup and send it back to them so they could know where I come from.
Okay, now Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show, last music for this edition. My Genealogy, M.B. Jones, then from Poland, the Scalpel Big Band, Flying Officer, live recording. Man, there, some recordings are so good live, and there's something about the spirit. You get the fidelity, fucking cooking with gas. Colonizing Imaginary Geography by M. Jones, the last tune for this edition. Tell us about my geography, because we were just talking about, you know, Sly Stone said an interesting thing. It's not where you're from, it's where you're at.
Yeah, I love Sly Stone. My Genealogy is a song I did with a Lugandan singer. And so we have like the English and the Lugandan, which is the one of the languages in Uganda there. And it's a song about outsiders in a way. You know, when I make a song, I try not to make like a single message. I try to have a kind of a discussion or different points. But the idea is that what is a foreigner and what is a family tree and stuff like that. And now now that we have all these genealogy tests, it's really funny because people are discovering what their heritage really is, even though they may think it's one thing. And the idea that maybe an alien could be in your family tree. The alien is the kind of the ultimate outsider, right? Even though here on Earth we have these little kind of racist things about, oh, I'm not from this country, or, you know, especially in the old days, people of different cultures couldn't mix in their family tree. So it's kind of a discussion about that, about outsiders, but using the ET, the alien, as symbolizing, somebody from a different culture coming in to mix with someone else's family tree, and the discussion about that.
So weird too, because rock and roll and jazz, such mixture.
It
would never happen without, miscegenation, I think, was the word, like a race mixing. It was illegal, actually, in the United States.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, even.
Okay, where can people find you on the internet, Matt?
You can find me at MB Jones Bandcamp.
Okay, but there's no Matt Jones website, right? So MB Jones.
I need to get that.
What right now is on the oven? What's getting cooked right now?
What's getting cooked right now is the ROK Spy 2, which is the follow-up to the ROK Spy from a couple of years ago. And we've been working really hard. It's me and a guy named Pam. His name's Pierre, but his initials are Pam, so he goes by Pam. And he worked with me on the first ROK Spy album, and we've been working hard on the second one. He's originally a jazz musician, but then transferred into kind of producing and releasing records. And he's been, a really good partner of mine since GG Band broke up. I didn't really have a necessarily a tight partner. So we email each other tons of mixes every week, and he gives me lots of feedback, and it's like back and forth, really great partnership. And since the corona lockdown happened, we said, let's just take our time and do it right. And so we've been just going through and examining it. But the ROK Spy 2 album is pretty much done. We're just kind of going through details and making sure it's right and that
understood,
kind of stuff.
Understood. I should let the listeners know ROK stands for Republic of Korea, people.
Yes.
Look, when this record's done, ROK Spy number 2, will you come back on the show? We'll play it all and talk about it.
Excellent. I'd love to.
Okay. Thanks so much for being on the show. People, it's been the November 23, 2020 edition of the Waffle Pedro Show. The special guest, Matt Jones. Keep
Thank
the
you,
powder Mike. Dry.